You know, it's a glorious thing to be conquered by God. God is a lot more than just going to church on Sunday morning. He wants to conquer you. He wants all of you. The Lord purchased you. All of you. Even that body you're wearing is a purchased possession. You're going to get a brand new one at the sound of the trump, but He's purchased that one. He's purchased you. And He has a plan. He has a plan, hallelujah, to bring us from glory to glory. God did not just resurrect your spirit and leave your flesh for you to handle and deal with. He didn't bring your spirit into heavenly places to dwell with Him and then said, now you deal with your flesh. He had a plan for all of it, amen? How many of you ever had to deal with your old man? That's the problem, is you're dealing with the old man. He has just as much planned for your old man as He did for your new man. Did you know that? He has just as much power to put your old man down as He did to raise your new man up. You just got to understand how He does it, amen? As long as you're trying to fix your old man, you'll never get there. Amen? Go to 1 Corinthians 15. I love His sword. I love His glory of His life. I love His light. I love His freedom. I love being conquered. Glory to God forever. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 47. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such as are they also that are earthy. We are not earthy. We are crucified from being earthy. Such is they also, but as is the heavenly, say, as is the heavenly. So are they also, they're heavenly. Say, I am heavenly. I am heavenly. And just about the first time you start believing you're heavenly, your flesh will remind you that you're earthy. How many of you ever done that? You've been up in the heaven, in the glory of God, like in the worship, And then, Lord knows, sometimes we'll walk right out those doors and the earthy, our flesh reminds us that we're earthy. But you are not earthy. You're heavenly. Say, I am heavenly. I'm going to teach you how the Lord will bury that old man. You don't have to do that. The problem is you've been trying to do that. You've been trying to fix him. You cannot fix something that's broken. Your old man is broken. There's nothing for that old man. Amen? It says, as is the heavenly, so also are those that are heavenly. Say, I am heavenly. I am born from above. I am born from my Father. I have my Father's DNA in my spirit. I have been born in the image of God. Hallelujah. I'm dwelling in the image of God. Hallelujah. I don't care what happens to my flesh. I'm still heavenly. My spirit man is heavenly. I belong. I am a citizen of the kingdom of God. I am born of the resurrection power of God. I am heavenly. Hallelujah. I love that. As we have borne the image of the earthy. Everyone born the image of the earthy. That's that body you're wearing. That's your old man. Before you were born again, your old man after you were born again. Your soul that hasn't been conquered yet. Your body that's not going to be conquered fully until the sound of the trump. However, He can conquer the desires. He can conquer the nature. He can conquer the old man. Notice what He says here. We, that word shall is not in the original. Say, we also bear the image of the heavenly. Say, I bear the image. What God wants to do is bring a life that was primarily ruled and governed by the old man into a life that's primarily ruled and governed by the new man. It's a reversal. The old man is put down and the new man reigns. And the new man is life. The new man is glory. The new man is light, power, love, peace, joy, and the new man's heavenly. Say heavenly. Glory to God forever. The new man is heavenly. I am heavenly. I am born from above. Everyone just lift your hands and say, I am born from above. What we got to do is get your spirit in ascendancy and your flesh down and kept down. If your life is miserable and you're born again and you're miserable, and that happens, by the way, it is possible to be born again and be miserable. If your life is miserable, it's because your flesh is running your life. And it's led you into a place of misery. We have to get that flesh down, not just down by discipline. There is an order where you discipline things, but then there's an order where it's dead. Say dead. Go to Romans 8. This is a resurrection weekend. Amen. But it's also it's death, burial, and resurrection weekend. Hallelujah. And it's just amazing the Lord has brought us in not only this revelation, but this operation. It's more than a revelation. It's an operation. I found it. I found a place for my flesh. Amen. I'm thanking God. You can thank God too. Hallelujah. I don't have to discipline this thing the rest of my life. That's a hard thing. God raises your spirit and he tells you now you just discipline your flesh and dwell with it and live with it all the rest of your life, because I don't have a plan for your old man. I just have a plan for your new man. So we're all trying to dwell in the glory, but our old man is constantly rising against us. And there is an old man being born again. Romans 8, verse 10. Say, if Christ be in you, the body is dead. It's not the kind of dead like dead, but as far as God's concerned, it is dead. It's nature. He declared dead. It's capacity to rise against your life. He declared dead. All the stuff that you and I deal with, preachers deal with, you deal with it, husbands deal with it, wives deal with it. The stuff that goes around the mountain every season dealing with that same thing or things or multiple of things. He positionally declared it dead. Positionally, it hung upon the cross with him. Positionally, it was crucified with him. Positionally, it was buried with him. And positionally, it was not supposed to rise up. But your discipline is not enough to keep it down. Prove it. I don't have to prove it. Just look at your life. Look at what you put down in discipline, and it rose back up. And you put it back down, and it rose back up. And you put it back, and you're fighting with it all the time. The same stuff you were fighting with 20 years ago, you're still fighting with. That was not God's plan. He said, he that entered into my rest, he ceased from his own labors. That even includes your old man, by the way. The body's dead because of sin, but the spirit is life. There's two fundamental operations. It wasn't one time he buried you. And one time he resurrects you, he's constantly burying and he's constantly resurrecting. Resurrection is like a shaft of glory. It's just constant. You just enter into it. It's a law of resurrection. And there's a law of burial. And they're both going on. All the time. Do you know that you can yield yourself to burial? and you can yield yourself to resurrection. God has this innate ability to separate you. He has an innate ability to separate you. For the word of God is quick and powerful. Because you want that part of you separated. You want the sword of the Lord to separate the old man. You want him to bury it, because if he buries it, he will not rise again. He's made to enter into the affliction, and it will not rise again. Somebody say hallelujah. If you make an utter end of your affliction, it'll rise again. If he makes an utter end of it, he will not rise. Jesus is just as proficient in burying the old man as he is proficient in raising the new man. He did not leave your old man to you. He has a plan. That's what Paul said. I'm found in him, not having my own righteousness. I've entered the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death and to his resurrection. You know, you can find that in him. It's in him. I'll give you a key. It's in him. Say in him. Go to Ephesians. It's not going to happen trying to fix everything here. Everyone say, I bear the image of the heavenly. I am heavenly. Need to start saying that every day. I am heavenly. I am heavenly. I am heavenly. Listen, this, the enemy's only power is to get your flesh to rise it against you. To raise your flesh against you is his only power. Well, I am heavenly. You got to start moving into your God-ordained place. You're a citizen of the kingdom. And you got to get where the power is. Come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in your time of need. Don't go boldly to yourself. Don't go boldly to your discipline. Don't go boldly to your own strength. Understand, you cannot. And then understand, he can. Amen. Now look at this. Ephesians 4. This is not a revelation. It was a revelation. It's now, I am living in this place of burial and resurrection. I'm as just about as happy as burying the old man as I am happy about the new man, because I'm tired of dealing with him anyway. I can't stand the restraints the old man puts upon me. I can't stand the restraints the flesh puts upon my spirit. I can't stand the ceiling of unbelief that we live under as a church. Constantly trying to get my spirit up in there, but the flesh is always just every waking up. Oh my God, there it is again. I'm not talking about just sin. I'm just talking about just the nature of wearing the thing. It's a thing. I have found a sword. I found a surgeon in the spirit. Jesus is a finely skilled surgeon. He is a high priest that knows how to circumcise and cut away the old man. He said that the word of God's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, divide asunder spirit, soul, joint, and marrow. He knows how to cut things. He knows how to divide you while you're still intact. He can cut something out of you while you're still intact. He can cut away the flesh. He can cut away the ceiling of the old man. He can bury him. The reason is because he has authority. When you gave it, your life to him, he said, your body is positionally declared dead. Say dead in its ability to do anything. And your spirit is positionally declared life. Those are just revelations until you start walking in it. So you find that room where your high priest does all this. That's why he's your mediator between you and your father. He's your high priest. The father told me something this morning. He says, you know, I accept you just the way you are. If you come to me, I will accept you just like you accept your children the way they are. He goes, well, you're going to let your children stay the same age all their life and do things like children? if they wanted you, would you still love them? I said, yeah, I'd love them, but I'd have to get them on the right track. He said, just because I love you doesn't mean I'm not going to keep you the same place. But I don't want you every time you come to me believing that we got to change something. Because then you get in performance mode with me. So what God does is he balances your life out. Sometimes he'll bring you in seasons where he just loves you and loves you. It's like, I'm loved. Don't think for a second he's not setting you up. Don't think for a second he's not ready and about ready to cut something down in your life. You're loved, you're high in the glory of God, and everything's perfect and nothing's wrong. And all of a sudden, the next time you come in there, and the finely skilled surgeon shows up with a two-edged sword. He said, we are going to change something today. But I want you to know that I still love you, but we're not leaving you the way you are. No more than you're going to leave your kids acting like a two-year-old when they're 10. He goes, I got a lot of people that are 40 years old and they're acting like they're 10. Because they haven't grown up. And they walk around and say, God loves me just the way I am. Of course he loves you the way you are. But he'd really like you to mature. Amen. So just about the time God's got you in a season of love and everything's just hunky-dory, wonderful. I mean, every time you go in there, it's just glorious and it's going to be like this forever. That's the way it feels in this love. It's euphoric. I mean, you just feel like, we're just going to be here like this forever. And then the next time you come in and something's up. It's like, we're not in the room of love today. What happened to the love? We go in this other room. The high priest shows up and says, we're going to sacrifice today. He said, did you bring me a sacrifice? I said, well, no. And he goes, yes, you did. You are the sacrifice. We're going to lay your old man on the altar today. We're going to put him on the brazen altar. We're going to put your old man on the cross. By the way, the cross is still going on for the old man. Your new man is seated together in heavenly places. Your old man is still on the cross. And that cross is powerful to put him down. Stop trying to put your old man down and get with the Lord. He will put your man down. He knows how. If you know your inherited rights, do you understand the burial is just as powerful as the resurrection? I said, Lord, we're in a glorious weekend. We're in burial and resurrection. That is what's happening. He said, I am going to conquer you. And I'm going to conquer my people in this last hour. I'm going to conquer the old man. I'm going to have a people that love me more than this world system. That love me more than glory, gold, and gals. I'm going to have my people that love me. And their flesh will not rise against them in this hour. They're going to know my power in the burial just as much as they know my power in the resurrection. Every given day, God can cut you in half. I think that's why he cut those sacrifices right down the middle. It's a foreshadowing. It's every day I'll cut you right in half. Your flesh that way, your spirit that way. Only God can do that. And that's a glorious thing. Especially if you're hungry and thirsty and you're walking with God and you're up against your ceiling and you have not found an answer against you. You've tried to fast your way through it. You try to pray your way through it. You've tried everything. You've gone to every conference in the world. And it's still there. There is a place in the Lord. Paul found it. Peter found it of all people. He was so full of himself. Peter found it. In fact, the Lord told him when he commissioned him. He goes, feed my sheep, Peter. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. He wasn't talking about lovest thou me more than these apostles around you. They dumped those fish down there because he kept going back to it. He says, do you love me more than this? This is what you came out of, Peter. This was your lifestyle. Do you love me more than this? Then feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Then he tells him, He goes, when you're young, Peter, which you are young, he wasn't talking about his age. He's talking about spiritual maturity. And he's about to carry the glory for the early church. He goes, you did what you would us do. This flesh is ruling your life, Peter. He goes, but when thou shalt be old, when you mature in the spirit, another's going to undergird you. The unconditional love is going to undergird you. It's going to carry you whither you wouldest not, and you will stretch forth your hands. Do you know Peter, the one that denied the Lord three times? Do you know at the end of his life, he was delivered from the city. Actually, a deliverance. He was walking from the city, and the Spirit of the Lord appeared to him and said, turn around. I come to be crucified again. And Peter, on his own volition, turned around and walked right back into his captor's hand and said, now crucify me upside down. I mean, how do you go from that extreme? How do you go from flesh running your life until flesh has been completely conquered and put down? From fear and self running your life until self has been buried and fear has been buried and you live for the glory of God only. You can't do that in your own strength. That's why this whole gospel is grace. Grace was not an excuse to live your life the way you wanted to. Grace was an operation of the kingdom of God that would bury your old man and raise your new man, all executed by your high priest. Preparing you for perfection with the Father. Amen? Say perfection. The Lord said, the final place for any of my people on the earth is the glory realm. It's the highest place that I have for anybody. The glory realm. Say the glory realm. He goes, I'm going to bring my people, my remnant people, instead of one person in any generation entering in, there is a remnant bride all going to go up into the glory in this hour. They're going to be able to carry the glory without falling under the weight of it. And the only way that's going to happen is something's got to be done with the old man. Amen? I've got the mystery. I don't have to do it, and neither do you. There's a place in the Lord he'll do it for you. Amen? Are you Ephesians? Listen, your faith will override even the ceilings of your flesh. Your faith can override. You don't understand what faith can do. Faith can bring you into realms with God that are impossible to do in the natural. Faith will bring you into the glory of the Lord. Ephesians 4, verse 21. Ephesians 4, verse 21. If so be that you have heard of him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Verse 22, look at this. Put off. Now, he's talking to Ephesians. They're saved. They're born again. He's talking to them in chapter 1 about heavenly things. He's having them pray the Ephesians prayer in chapter 3 of dunamis power. He's talking about administration and governments and gifts in chapter 4. And now he starts talking about this. Watch this. He says, now, as you've been taught of the truth in Jesus at HRC Church in Houston, Texas, verse 22 says that you put off concerning the former behavior of the old man, which is what? Corrupt. You still have an old man that's corrupt. Born again. Don't beat yourself up so bad. Everybody else has the same one. It's everybody else's manifest in different ways. Even Mary Poppins has her issues. But Mary Poppins just hides it from the public. But trust me, she's got closet issues. Mary Poppins has skeletons in the closet. Jack Daniels, you know all his stuff because he tells you. You see it. He can't hide it. But Mary Poppins can hide the stuff. As long as she's wearing that body, I'm telling you, she's got it. Put her in the right circumstance, and she will turn and burn. If you're wearing that body, you've got issues. Because the body has issues. It's corrupt. So the Lord's going to raise your spirit, leave your corrupt body for you to deal with. You're dealing with 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 years of corruption.
enemy is very skilled in empowering the corruption of your body. Stop beating yourself up so much. And stop trying to change it in the natural. You're not going to. It's corrupt. You can't fix corruption. You have to bury it. The better thing to do is start developing your faith on how to bring you and all of your issues to God. The day I've been telling people this, and people, when they break through, they call me and say, you know, it's true. It's so true. I said, you know, you can bring you and all of your issues to God and He will love you. It ain't like He doesn't already know it anyway. But somehow He won't accept me. So you're going to perfect yourself, some kind of perfection where He will love you. See, faith is the only thing that's going to get you there, because faith has to believe God loves you despite you. See, faith believes God loves me. That's why faith can reach over the veil. When everything in you is telling you no, faith can reach over there and bring you into God. And the day that God, you come into God and He loves you, you walk right in there and He loves you, come boldly to the throne of grace and He loves you. It's like, oh my God, I had no idea. I thought you wouldn't. I mean, I said, Lord, you know my stuff. He goes, yeah, I've dealt with 50 more people just like that in your own church. He goes, that's just in your church. If you want to go to another church, we can talk about that too. Believe me, your stuff does not intimidate the Lord. You know why? And it's from Hebrews. He said He can be touched. Say He can be touched with the feelings of your infirmity, being a high priest, tempting in every point like you. Tempted, everything was laid on Him. He can be touched. Say He can be touched. He's a high priest that can be touched. That's why He accepts you. He loves you. And then He begins to initiate the process of transformation. But it's done in Him. The old man's corrupt. Stop trying to fix him. You can't. You can cover him up for everybody, you know, to make everyone know that you got it together. But it's still corrupt. I got a revelation. Your old man is corrupt. When you walk in here and you're singing glory, glory, hallelujah, when you walk out that door, you're walking out with a corrupted old man. Crucified with Christ. That's a real place. I am crucified. You read like this. My old man, this is what you use faith for. How do I do it? Surrender. Come unto Him the way you are. And then here's how you do it. Take a scripture. You take one scripture. It says, I am crucified. Really, the way you should read that, it says, my old man is crucified with Christ. Not was, is. It's ongoing. You still have a corrupted old man. You have a right to bring him and lay him on the cross. My old man is corrupt. My old man is crucified with you, Lord. Notice where you're doing that. You bring your life to him. Stop running from him. You think by running from God you're going to fix yourself? You can't. You're running with corruption. Anytime I see somebody run with corruption, it just produces more corruption. It's just a matter of time. Corruption multiplies. Bring the corruption to God. Acknowledge, I am wearing this body. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes it behaves itself and sometimes it don't. And I know I'm not the only one in here. I'm having an altar call for corrupt flesh. Every one of us should come down here. Acknowledge it before the Lord. Stop thinking there's just something wrong with you. You've been left with a body. You got to wear it. Well, why did He do that then? Why couldn't He just raise me up and separate me from this thing? You would have no authority. Christine's smart. No authority on the earth if He separates you from your body. Bye-bye. You're in heaven. He has to put the treasure in an earthen vessel so you can operate in the earth. He did that for logistics, for legal. God is legal. He does everything legally. He had to put the treasure in the earthen vessel, because if He took the earthen vessel and glorified it, you'd have to go home to be with the Lord. So God puts treasure in earthen vessel. He raises your spirit to be seated together with him. And then he says, "You're up. It's up to you to deal with the corruption." And by the way, thousands and thousands fallen under the corruption. So have at it. Good luck. No. He said, "Bring it all to me. I am a high priest. Bring it to the throne of grace. I have a sword. I have a knife. Very sharp. And I'll cut asunder. I'll circumcise that old man out. I'll lay him on the cross and I'll bury the corruption." And it's an ongoing process. It's not a one-time burial. Unfortunately, I wish it was. But it's powerful. Before, the way I used to change is go through years and years and years of hard-pressed trials. Just constantly, it's like water going over a rock. Eventually, it's going to get smooth. You're in a river and you get those smooth rocks. They're smooth because water is constantly running over them, and it smooths the rough edges. And I'm tired of changing like that. Do you like changing like that? There's a better way. I can come under the high priest. It is a sharp sword. Believe me, it's a sharp sword. But it can cut asunder the stuff that challenges you, the stuff you deal with. It'll cut it asunder. And the depth by which it purges. I mean, I'd like to tell you, but I'm not going to tell you. Last Sunday, I come in here. I just got through with surgery. I walked out of surgery and walked in here to the service. I found a room in the Lord. Paul found that room. You can find that room. He says, "Put off the old man." And in the same verse, two verses later, he says, "Now put on the new man." Put off and put on. It is a daily operation. You don't put off the old man in this jurisdiction. You bring him to God where Christ dwelleth. That's where your power is going to be. You keep trying to put him off here. The best you're going to do is get a surrender here. When you put him off there, he buries it. He releases it. It removes it. And it causes your spirit to elevate into God. It causes your spirit to elevate into the glory of God. You elevate into the love of God. You elevate into the peace of God. You elevate into the freedom of God. I'm teaching you how to walk with God as he's teaching us. He's teaching us because he's about to introduce us to the glory realm. The realm of his glory, the prize of all prizes. Say the prize of all prizes. John 5 first. You can put your finger in Romans 6. You are a two-part being. God's going to cut the sacrifice right down the middle. When they take a sacrifice, they would cut that thing with a sword right down the middle and lay the halves over. I never wonder why he did that until now. Because that was just foreshadowing what I'm doing to you. I got to cut your flesh and lay him over there and lay the new man over here, raise the new man up and bury. Put him on the brazen altar. Set him on fire. Now, it's going to be a lot easier for you if you'll learn to do this with the Lord. If you don't, your flesh is going to get you in trouble anyway here. It's going to get you in trouble. It's going to lead you into a world of hurt. You just don't know it will. You let your flesh do whatever it wants, it will lead you into a world of hurt. You just don't know it will. It's impossible for it not to. There is not a man alive that carried the glory of God that fell under the weight of it, that thought he was going to fall under the weight of it. Every one of them thought they could carry it. No problemo. You know why? I'll tell you how it works. If you don't really want to know, glory of God will get on you. And what will happen? You'll let your flesh go. You'll let it just run. And then all of a sudden you pull it back into service and God anoints you again. And you keep going down that route and you find, I can be anointed no matter what I do. I can have both lives and still be anointed. You can believe the people that operate in the anointing, stuff that they do. But the day of reckoning always comes. This is really powerful, my friends. Most powerful operations are found It's not just a revelation. It's an operation orchestrated by your high priest. He can cut away years off your life. He can cut away things you've struggled with years. Stop struggling with it. Labor to enter into his rest. And he will initiate the two-edged sword. He'll initiate it where he is. It's all done in the spirit. And when you're done in a place of the spirit, he has a way of minimizing the pain. John 5, verse 26, for as the Father hath life in himself, he hath given the Son to have life in himself. Notice what he says in verse 27, and he's given him, the Son, authority to execute judgment. To execute judgment. I'm thinking, why didn't he say the Father had life in himself, the Son to have life in himself, and you to have life in yourself? Instead, he said he'd given him authority to execute judgment. See, the day he purchased you, he was given authority to execute judgment. He's not judging you. He's judging the old man. He does no longer consider to be a part of you. He doesn't consider your old man or your flesh to be a part of you because you've been born as a new creation. You have the DNA of God in your spirit, and everything is of an old order that came from Adam. He does not consider that a part of you. So he has authority to execute the judgment. When he's judging your old man, not you. You got to separate the two. You, he loves. Your old man, he judges. Execute the judgment. The higher you get into God, the more he'll execute. The deeper he'll go. The freer you'll get. The more glorious it becomes. Because he cuts away everything you've been struggling with. The greatest, when Rick Joyner got caught up into glory, and he was standing before the Lord, or one of those people there that was talking to him, he said, the greatest calling of all is to be fully, they told him this, they said, the greatest calling of all is to be fully conquered by him. We just not knowing where this happens. We know now. Go to Romans 6, now I'll close. Now, here was my question to God. I said, if you've been given authority to execute, why don't you just execute it? You positionally declare my old man dead, just go put him to death. He goes, I don't do that in your jurisdiction. I do it in mine. That's why I'm asking you to come to me just as you are. I don't come invade your life like that. You've got to offer that to me. You got to bring your life. What did he say? Present your body a living sacrifice. Come unto God. Come unto the high priest in the temple of God where he dwells and present your body. You got to present it. You got to come. That's why this happens for those who dwell in the glory. Those that sit there and wait all day thinking God's just going to come and invade them and cut them down. It ain't going to happen. He will let you have your will here to do whatever you want to do. If he didn't stop Adam going to eat from that tree, he's not going to stop your will. If he would have stopped anybody, he would have stopped Adam. Just stop the whole thing right here. I don't plan on spending 6,000 years with these people. Instead, he knew, he calculated, says, I can't violate his will. They got together and said, look, we got 6,000 years and a billions and billions of people we're going to have to walk with now as a result of this man's fall. Let him go. That's why you have to bring, the Lord said, this all happens in me. I am your high priest. I can be touched with the feelings of your infirmities. Come boldly to the throne of grace just as you are. Stop thinking he will not accept you. You use scriptures like, I am accepted in the beloved. You're the living doorway. By you I enter in. I'm accepted. A lot of times when I'm using those scriptures, I don't feel accepted. I feel all my stuff on me. I'm accepted in the beloved. I'm accepted in the beloved. You can be touched with the feelings of my firm. I got to get out of this jurisdiction into his. I got to get where he is. So he can begin to execute the dividing of the sword. The sword of the Lord cutting asunder, circumcised, circumcision made without hands, buried in baptism, raised in glory. I want to close with this concept today. I want to close with the concept that burial is just as powerful as resurrection. Burial of the old man is just as powerful as resurrecting the new. And you need both. Anybody's been around a while and seen people operate in the glory, they've also seen the flesh that comes with it. And they look at that like, how does this happen? Because they were able, by one part of their faith, to go up in the glory, but they never exercise faith for the other. And the Lord spoke this to me, and those who have ears to hear, you're going to hear me say something. Listen to me. Go to Romans 6. Romans 6, verse 3. See, you need to arm yourself with the word, because you can't exercise faith if you don't know what your rights are. Amen? All this goes back, by the way, to the secret of mustard seed faith. God said, if you have faith that works like the grain of a mustard seed, you can say unto the mountain, it will be moved, and nothing shall be impossible. And all these people come on, all you got to do is have a little faith to move the mountain. Wrong. You need a whole lot of faith. That's not what mustard seed faith is. Mustard seed faith is not small faith. It's an operation that includes two major operations in one operation. One's for burial, planting, and the other one's for resurrection. You got to have faith for burial and faith for resurrection. Get those two operations, one to bury the old man, one to resurrect the new. You will find the God of the impossible. Somebody say hallelujah.
Romans 6, verse 3. Know you not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ? We're baptized into his death. That's your old man. Therefore, we are, not have been, we are, say are, buried with him in baptism into death. That's your old man. It's a constant thing, by the way, if you know how to tap into it. That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. Having been planted together in the likeness of his death, we're also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. You have a right to put your old man on that cross all over again. Father, we just come before you right now. We thank you for these awesome operations. You didn't leave us to our flesh, Father. You didn't leave us to our old man. You've raised us up together. Say, I've been raised together. I am heavenly. I have borne and I do bear the image of the heavenly. Today we bear the image of the heavenly. Father, today I ask you for grace to be released all over this congregation. Grace, Father, to enter. Grace to come before the high priest. The grace of spiritual circumcision. That you will open the operation of spiritual circumcision. Everyone stand up if you will. That you open that operation, cutting away the old, raising the new. Father, you set in motion both operations simultaneously. Every day, a daily operation. They would bring the sacrifice to you twice daily, Father. Every day we bring the sacrifice, presenting the old man for burial, the new man for resurrection. Father, I ask you to unlock this operation within your people. I ask you to unlock right now. I break the condemnation that's keeping people from bringing themselves to where you are.
Let faith arise in the heart today. Let faith arise in the spirit today. Let faith arise to come unto our high priest. Lord, you can be touched. You can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. You can be touched. You can be touched, Lord. You accept.
We trust you're enjoying today's message. We would like to invite you to partner with us through our convenient online donation feature that enables our ministry to continue offering these life-changing messages free of charge.